Welcome to the first Enchanting podcast. I am Henneke, and I'm here today with Sharon Tanton. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you.
You're the creative director at Valuable Content Marketing, and you have a background in copywriting and marketing. You've done lots of work for magazines, radio, television, before you set up the Valuable Content Marketing Agency. Is that right?
That's right, yes. My colleague Sonia has started the agency. I've been working with her now for a couple of years. She had a background in sales and started writing white papers and blogs and kind of information that she knew would help salespeople like her do the job better. And I've been working with her now for, about 2 years. And we've just written a book together, which is why we're, I think, is that how we got in touch with each other? I can't remember. Via Twitter.
Yeah, I think we've been in touch over Twitter for quite a long while. And then I noticed that you wrote your book, Valuable Content Marketing, which is about making quality content the key to business success. And I thought that was a great introduction to content marketing. So I quite like to hear a bit more from you about this topic. And when we were emailing, you said that you're a little bossy.
I was,
about
yes.
Writing English. Tell me more.
Well, I was in a previous life. I was an English teacher for a while, which wasn't my best career choice. It was one of those kind of having children. What am I going to do? I can't be away, work away from home anymore. I know I'll be a teacher, and I didn't actually enjoy the teaching much. It did make me really focus on good writing and all those things. Good grammar and expressing yourself clearly and getting your message across did get very crystallized in that year of English teaching and standing up in front of a class of, well, classes of adolescent boys trying to get them to spell its in the right way or express themselves clearly.
Sounds like a tough job to me.
It was tough. Writing is much, much easier. Content marketing is much easier than teaching.
So tell me, how do you define valuable content and why do you think businesses need it?
I think it's probably best to start with the definition of content, because that's a word that's kind of changed its meaning over the last few years. It didn't used to be a thing, a content. It was done in the same way it is now. But the way I see it, content is just words or images or stuff. It's the blog that you posted last night or the video that you shared on Facebook. Content's just information, and we're awash with it these days. There's content everywhere, and there's good content and there's bad content, and we skip the bad stuff. We get cross with content that interrupts us or bores us, content that doesn't answer our questions, content that tries to sell us things when we're just looking for help. And if you've got a website, you'll have wrestled with what's the right thing to say, what content should you share. But we define valuable content as content that's got a purpose, content that's shaped for a particular audience. Valuable content is helpful, it's relevant, it's entertaining. You'll recognize it because it's probably the stuff that you share. It's when you find a blog that you really like, you'll think, oh, God, so-and-so would really find that interesting, so you send it on to them. So it's stuff that will touch you in some way, stuff that you'll find helpful, and you'll want to share it. Businesses need valuable content because it draws people towards you. Everything starts with Google these days. When you're looking for a new service, you're looking to buy something, you'll more than likely start out online. You'll just put a question in, you'll ask something, you'll put a name in, you want to find out stuff, and you'll look for websites. So your business needs a strong online presence so that it gets found. And if you make it a source of valuable content, you will get found and you will get liked.
So in a summary, would you say bad content is more content written for Google, while good content is really written for a target audience?
Exactly, yes. I mean, Google's getting smarter now. It used to be that you could just put lots of keywords in and get found, but Google now won't reward you by doing that. You've got to be sharing original, helpful, relevant content that is actually doing something, and just kind of mentioning your keyword over and over and over again is not going to get you up the rankings in the way that it maybe used to a few years ago. So essentially, writing for your audience and being helpful and relevant is as good for Google as it is for your audience, but that yes, write with your audience, your people, your potential clients in mind, and make it useful, relevant, helpful for them.
So can you give us a few ideas how to come up with ideas for valuable content?
Okay, the top five tips that I would have for coming up with content ideas are that the first one would be start with your customers or your clients, and what questions are they asking? And I mean, literally, what are the questions? Write down the five most commonly asked questions that you're asked and use those words as titles for five blog posts. Things like, how do I do X or how do you do Y? Those are kind of questions that the people you're looking to work with are asking. So answer them, write some blog posts on that. Another thing I think is important, a tip, is to focus deeper. Rather than people sometimes think, I've got to come up with hundreds of different ideas, I can't think of new ones, or no, there's so much I could write about. Rather than thinking you need to come up with a really widespread of different ideas, focus on a niche and write about one thing in more depth. That's good for building up your expertise, and it's also good for SEO if you're seeing things from different angles and writing a lot about something. That's a good thing to do. And it saves you that kind of scattergun panic of, oh, I need to write about this and this and this, and where do I start? So go deeper rather than wider. Another thing when you're thinking of content ideas is to think about the content that your potential customer will need at every stage of the sales process. So, for example, if you're offered HR services, you might need some general articles that has grabby headlines that pull people in, like five ways to solve maternity leave problems or quick wins with difficult managers, and that would get people who are just at the sort of cruising stage of looking for help. Then you'd need some deeper content too for people who are a bit further along the process, who want to maybe thinking of working with you, want to be reassured that you're experts. So you'd be looking at creating some case studies, some white papers. Then if you think of different mediums rather than different subjects, thinking you need 100 different subjects, think of different ways of doing the same subject. So think about podcasts like this one. Some people really like to listen. They don't like reading this. However well written your blog post is going to be, they're not going to particularly want to read it, but they might really like listening. So think about covering the same subject in a podcast or a video for people who like to watch. So the fourth tip, I'd say, kind of quick win blog articles. Numbered lists work really well. They have become a bit of a cliche. If you go onto Twitter, there'll be 10 ways to do this, 5 ways to do that. But they actually still get really read. It promises a quick read for people who are hard-pressed for time, which is probably most of us in the world. So if you write something that shows you'll get an answer quickly, it will be popular.
Yeah, I find they work really well. I keep going back to writing numbered list myself.
I know, I do
people
too.
Just like reading them, and you can quickly scan them, and maybe something is not useful, but you always pick something up that is useful,
yeah,
as well.
And I think that people like to know the end in sight. I think it's that we are just so busy, and so a great big long blog post, you need some of those, but also those quick digestible things. They fly well around on social media. And if you're looking for content ideas, they're quick and easy to write and quick and easy to read. So I definitely get some of those in your content mix. And the last thing I'd say was, if you're looking for inspiration, is just to be involved in your community. So read the forums, look at other people's blogs, see what people are talking about, and use that as inspiration. And once you're in the swing of reading more, you'll find more things spark ideas. And so, yeah, keep a notebook, write things down, jot things down. In our book, there's some blog templates and things, and I think we put them up on our website now, I'll check, to help you kind of put together blogs, start writing blogs. So you could use those if you're looking for ways of starting creating content.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it works as well, not just to stay within your own niche. Sometimes it's nice to read something from, I don't know, something completely different, because that might inspire you to write something different,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, good idea. I mean, yeah, and I'm a big reader of novels and things as well, novels and stuff. So, yeah, read, watch films, get ideas from all kinds of places. Yeah, don't. Although I would, when you're building up your content library, I'd write about your niche. I definitely think that's a good idea to read outside it.
Yeah. So shall we look at a couple of case studies, maybe to help people visualize a bit more what we are talking about? I think you worked with F-Works.
Yeah.
And that's a team of two financial experts, isn't it?
That's right.
And they really use content to stay in touch with prospects. So this is not really to attract people to their website, but really to stay in touch with them with an email newsletter. Is that right?
That's right, yes. They came to us a while ago. Steve, who runs F-Works, knew he wanted to do a newsletter, but he didn't really know what format it should be, and he didn't want it to be a boring newsletter, because I think the thing with a lot of financial directors, the things that they send out would be quite dry. It would be, have you thought about your exit strategy? Have you got your tax records up to date? Have you done this? And that's really not what he wanted to do. He wanted something that people would look forward to getting, and something that showed that he understood the emotional side of running a business, because I think that's what makes them different, really. Or that's what he wanted to get across, was that running a business, yeah, as an entrepreneur, you're quite on your own. You're making a lot of decisions by yourself, but you have a different outlook on life to somebody who's an employee, because you're standing on your own two feet. You've probably gone into business with a passion for something that you really want to do, so you're having to kind of learn the business side of it as you go along to make the rest of it work. So he wanted a newsletter that encompassed that, and we thought around it lots and lots of ways of doing this. And eventually came up with this idea of the F words, which are a series of newsletters which we take one word, like focus or freedom or function, a word that's to do with business, and we write about that every month and get people to comment. So the first one was freedom, and it was, the idea was that you set up, what was the idea behind setting up your business? Why did you do it? And getting people to talk about what freedom meant to them. Was it, I don't want to work a 9-to-5 anymore. I want to make it my own rules. I want to inspire people. And so we devised a newsletter around these words. We've got a fantastic illustrator called Lizzie Everard, who every month does an illustration to kind of show this word in context. And it really works. People get a newsletter that they're kind of intrigued to open, kind of, what's the word this month? What's the picture this month? What do other people think about this? Because that's the thing about being an entrepreneur, is you think that it's completely unique and you're doing it, but there's probably 50 other people in your immediate radius who are going through the same business problems. So it was an idea of sharing problems, so creating content around the issues that his clients were facing, but doing it in a creative and engaging way. And that's it has raised his profile. And although it wasn't really set out as a thing to get new business, it was more set out as a thing to keep in touch with the sort of warm leads. It's getting more business, because people are passing on these newsletters and they're enjoying them. And it's going to go towards a book. We're going to create a book at the end of it, which will help build this community of entrepreneurs, which Steve, as a financial director, will now be the centre of. So it will work to build his business too.
I think this is really interesting, because what this really shows is, this is about personality as well, isn't it? This is about showing who you are. It's not about just giving people dry, helpful information, but really thinking about their problems and sharing, talking about it in a quite emotional way almost.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, they are, it is all emotional. I mean, it's sharing the difficult things, but it's also sharing the joys of it, because running your business can be fantastic. So it's a chance to kind of talk about that as well as talk about the more difficult things.
Yeah, I think it looks really great. I had a look at it, and I'll definitely put some links for people to have a look at the bottom of this podcast, so because it's really inspirational, and it's good to hear that it doesn't just keep in touch with people, but wins them business as well.
Yes, because it marks you out. They don't look like kind of boring finance accountancy people. Although obviously you need kind of serious money people. It doesn't say we're not that, but it also says we understand the issues you're facing in your business, which is what you want in somebody in that kind of advisory role. You are going to be sharing some quite intimate, deep stuff about what's going on in your life as well as what's going on in your business. So you want somebody to know that you're going to be got somebody on side that is understanding and empathetic, as well as somebody who's good at strategy and figures and numbers. So, yeah, it's good. It's a lovely one.
Yeah, and we were talking before the call about Yoke as well, which I thought was quite funny, because they are a small web design agency, and they really didn't like cold calling, right?
That's right.
Like most of us, who likes cold calling?
No, we hate it. It's horrible.
So what was their strategy to avoid doing cold calling?
Well, what they did, they've only been running a year or so, just over a year, and they're a group of lads. I'm calling them lads, that's a bit, but they're men, they're lads, they're youngish men who set up a design agency, and they didn't want to just be working for anyone. They didn't want to just be working for corporate kind of faceless agencies. They wanted to be working for people who were doing the right thing. They've got strong ethical ideas about being sustainable, being green, working for people who are building up communities, people who are doing good stuff. So their strategy was to create a really fantastic web platform and to start blogging about the way they wanted to do business and to share their ideas, their passions, their thoughts about a kind of better way of living your life, really. And they started blogging, and they started talking on Twitter, and found that the kind of people that they wanted to work with were on Twitter, and they could start sharing content with them. And they actually didn't have to do cold calling, because they'd made connections on Twitter, which is a far nicer way of doing it. It's easy to be helpful, isn't it, on Twitter? You can send somebody a link, kind of, I saw this article and thought of you, and they can open it when they want. They can ignore it if they want, but you don't know that they've ignored it. But you can be, it's quite unobtrusive. You can be helpful without having to ring somebody up and say, read this, and get them at the wrong moment. So it gives them a chance to get things at the right moment. And they just found, they call it the Twitter handshake. They said the Twitter handshake is a really powerful. They built up relationships online, and that translated into business. And so within 6 weeks of start of launching, their order books were full, and they're taking on people now. So it's going really well for them. That kind of having a great story, having a sharing why you're doing something rather than just what you're doing, sort of fits the way I think people feel today. We like a story that we can believe in. We like to work that we know we're working with people who are, well, they say, doing great things for good people. That's their strap line. And I think that's something that that people get behind, and it gets them work.
So doing great things for good people is their strap line.
Yes.
But how did they then implement that with their blog?
Well, they blog about sustainability issues. They blog about how people are working around the world, building up communities. They write about those kind of issues, as well as if you look at their blog, they'll give away lots of free information about how to make your website work for you, what your website needs to do. So that they're on the one hand, they're blogging about web design and good web design and good web design to build your business, but they're also blogging about being sustainable, being green, helping your local community, getting involved. So they've got this sort of mesh of, well, they are of doing good work and doing good things, and the way their website is designed, their blog is beautiful, little kind of, you've got probably 12 little tiles, lovely images for each of the blog posts. It feels like a really happy, lovely place to be if you have a look at their website.
Yeah, definitely. I had a look at it, and I think it's really interesting what you say is they mix sort of their business thing about sort of web design and what makes a good website with another topic like sustainability, and they talk about both topics but quite sort of independently of each other.
Yes. But somehow it works within the context of that website, doesn't it? It doesn't feel like they're off message at all. It just feels like it's them.
Yeah, very interesting. I think we have time for another quick example, Sharon. Are you still okay for time?
Yes, that's fine.
So we were talking before about Inksters. They are a law firm, aren't they? And they share lots of free advice on their website.
Yes, that's right. Inksters are a law firm in Scotland. They're based in Glasgow, and they share a lot of property information and information on crofting law, which is quite a specific Scottish law to do with crofting. I don't know much about it, but they're kind of world experts in this thing. And they give away lots and lots of content about this on their website. But the interesting thing about Inksters is they're very innovative and they're not afraid of new technologies in the way that a lot of law firms certainly are, and I think a lot of businesses also are. So they were the first law firm in Scotland to get onto Twitter. They share information as blogs, but they also share it. They'll do podcasts, so they'll share stuff about wind farms and crofting law, and they'll put it in a podcast for people who like to listen rather than read. They'll put it up as a video. They'll just be there. They'll make themselves available. They'll share content and get it in wherever people that might need them are going to be. So the thing that you can kind of learn from Inksters is kind of embracing technology, getting your content in lots of different forms, in lots of different places.
Yeah, there's really not an industry where you can't sort of share helpful information, is there? And you can be in as boring an industry as law or finance, but still you can find interesting ways to communicate.
Definitely, definitely. And you can't, a lot of things worry, and big worry people have about content is, should I give it away for free? What about, this is really important stuff. Why should I tell people how to do things? Because if I do that, then they're not going to come to me. But I don't think that that's the case. And I suppose the way I'd see it is that you can really find out anything, any question that you would have, you can find on the internet now, can't you? And so you might as well be the one who's being helpful and being the kind of guiding teacher, telling people rather than somebody else doing it, because it's good to be helpful. It's a nice position to be in. We were talking earlier, I don't think either of us have lost kind of writing work from sharing ideas on how to write. Somebody that has also written a really good book, a woman called Bryony Thomas, has written a book called Watertight Marketing, and she has a phrase called commercial karma. That's what she thinks it is. If you're kind of giving away stuff for free, stuff will come back to you. And I like to think of it in that way too.
So you call it commercial karma?
Commercial karma.
That's a nice one.
And that is what it's like. It's you do get repaid. You help, and then other people help you. The same way, if you share other people's blog posts and their content, they'll share yours. You kind of have to kind of embrace it really and be generous, and then you get repaid.
So it's quite interesting. I think all these three case studies show something about how, by sharing information, you can build your authority, you can find customers, you really can show your personality, so it becomes easier for people to get in touch as well, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, things like sharing videos of yourself. That's if you're in a kind of job where people are going to be a bit nervous of meeting you, say you're a dentist or a driving instructor or a lawyer, even some kind of content that shows that you're a real person that they can imagine, oh, they're not going to be scary. That kind of content, ice-breaking content, is invaluable for getting people over the first hurdle and to imagine being in a meeting with you. There's so much you can do with the content that will help your business to grow.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. Although I'm not sure I'm ready for video yet.
No, I'm not sure I'm ready for video either.
Getting people to listen to my voice is quite a big step already. So just if the listeners want to get started and they want to create more valuable content, can you just give three really quick, easy tips to wrap up for them to get started?
First thing, I just make sure you really know your customers and clients better. So I do some feedback calls, ring them up today, start today. There's help on our website for kind of good questions to ask your clients, just to find out what they're thinking about, what are the issues that are concerning them, so you can create some good content. I'd say start a blog if you haven't already got one. If you already have got one, think about niche and give yourself time to do it properly. It's easy to let blogging slip, but it really is a great way of keeping a keeping the content fresh on your website, keeping leads coming in. So give yourself space to make it work in your schedule.
Yeah.
And the last thing is to listen more. We were saying kind of read more and engage and build up your network online and share other people's stuff. Be generous. Share stuff that, you know, your clients would be interested in, even if you didn't write it yourself. Be part of an online community is a really, really good way of building up your business.
Yeah, and that doesn't have to be on your own website. You can use social media, or you can interact on other blogs too, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Just take part, be out there, be helpful, be nice, really. Be nice on Twitter. That would be my tip.
Yeah, good. Well, those are some good tips. Get to know your customer, start a blog, make some time for it, and just listen more and engage.
Yes.
With your community. I mean, that's been really great to speak to you, Sharon.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, good. It's good to finally speak.
Yes.
Just also to mention that listeners can find you, of course, on your blog, which is valuablecontent.co.uk. They can connect with you on Twitter. That's Sharon Tenton. Lastly, of course, I recommend your book, which is a very easy-to-read overview of anything to do with creating content and social media, just the whole content marketing mix. I'll put some links below the podcast as well. And if anybody has any questions, they can just leave a comment below this podcast, and I'm sure Sharon will pop in to ask them if there's anything. Okay. So if you